Thanks, Jen. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is our friend Patrick MacDonald, film critic.
Hello,
I'm
friend.
Say, I'm going to say esteemed friend. Film critic. Esteemed, would that bother you?
Yes.
Esteemed film critic.
As that profession is going away, too.
For HollywoodChicago.com. No,
that, no, it isn't.
It's never going to go away. Tour guide over at Chicago Film Tours. How's business? Are things good over at Chicago Film Tours?
It's been a rough summer, sir.
Oh, no. Well,
but
it's been cold.
The weather's getting better, so I'm optimistic that it will pick up.
Can I just tell you, there has been so much rain going on that no one's really thinking about going touring of the city.
Yeah.
So
we'll change all that.
We will. We'll change it for you. I'm going this sometime this summer. I will be on one.
Very good.
All right. Now, here's something I have to ask you.
Yeah.
I've heard several people who do what you do. They're film critics. And they say, boy, the summer of 2019 is really not shaping up the way we had hoped. Is that true or not true?
That's an interesting question. I are you saying critically or box office?
In terms of both.
Attendance is down, isn't it?
People going
10% down, yeah.
And the fact that they really haven't, in other summers, you see almost a blockbuster every other week, and this year, not really.
Well, again, I think, as far as my observation is concerned, it's about product. There's so much product out there.
Yeah.
The next big thing, the next big thing, the next big thing. You know, Lion King's opening next week. We already had Aladdin.
Yeah.
You know,
but Aladdin didn't do what they were hoping, did it?
No, not really.
Because we've seen it 20 other times.
Yeah. And again, you take Robin Williams out of the equation in that movie, and you don't have a movie. And that's basically what happened. I mean... Will Smith was fine. He gave it the old college try, but he's not Robin Williams.
It's creepy.
By a long shot. It was creepy.
So with Disney, when they've tried a couple of these where they take animated classics and they make them live action, it's been hit and miss. Jungle Book was really, really good.
Yes.
But some of them have not been quite what they had hoped. So knowing that, what are their thoughts for Lion King? Are they a little nervous about it?
I think they're nervous. I think they're nervous. You're talking about making cartoon animals alive. You know, you're talking about taking a lion in a zoo and making him talk.
Yeah.
How do you give expression to that? That face, you know,
right.
how does it with Seth Rogen coming out of a warthog? Is that something I want to see? question yourself before you go in with that. But I think spoiler alert: I have seen the movie, so it's just you have to take it as it goes. This live action stuff is really strange to me.
Yeah,
the next one's Mulan. I guess they're in production for that. And
are they just going to remake everything?
Yeah, it seems like a cash grab, really.
Yeah,
because they have the surefire story. The marketing doesn't have to be extensive because everybody knows
what
Little
you're getting.
Mermaid. Yeah, exactly. So it's for the modern times. We just don't want to do anything new to have to try to convince a distracted audience to go someplace.
Controversy with the casting on Little Mermaid.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because it's an African-American girl playing
Ariel.
So?
People panicked.
It's just
people said that's we've seen a Little Mermaid and it's a white mermaid a white mermaid. How come now you've cast an African American mermaid? To most of us, it makes sense. You go, well, we went with the person we thought was best for the role, but for other people, it's like, uh-oh.
Geez, the next thing you're going to tell me is Jesus was white.
Yeah. Yep.
Look no at all calls the, or letters.
Look at
folks.
All the calls. So I know there's a Tarantino movie that's getting.
Yes.
All right. So that's coming down. That Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is getting a lot of talk. But other than that, is there any movie or two around the corner that could turn the tide for the summer?
There's an adaptation of a Scary Stories book, Scary Stories to Tell,
in the lights are out.
Right. And that's a beloved series, so that could be the savior of August.
Mm-hmm.
But August is really a dump zone, so expect a lot of scary movies that didn't make it into the October rotation,
I have a question. So. Isn't August is back to school? You feel like it's the last hurrah before kids go back. Shouldn't that be a time where you put a great movie out?
Yeah, you would think.
I think the philosophy is that everybody's distracted in August. They're either on vacation. Well, vacation
No, I think
would
vacation is summer.
Yeah, it would make sense that on vacation you go to the movies.
Mm-hmm. So. You wanted to talk about, and it kills me that I've not seen this movie yet. I'm dying to see this movie yesterday.
Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about the mere fact that they got the rights to all these Beatles songs. The Beatles have always been very, very stingy about lending their music to film, but not this time around. How come?
Well, it turns out that Working Title, the production company, had a deal with Sony and Apple beforehand for these songs. So they were able to negotiate a certain list of songs with flexibility, meaning that as they were doing the movie, they could move them around a bit if they had to. But it had to be the most familiar songs, because obviously you're gonna want to introduce those into the world at first. So my question was, during that time, which song, you know, would you introduce first that we talked about? So
that's a great question. Yeah. So if people don't know the premise of this movie yesterday, just give enough to make this question a more viable option.
Okay, so it's one individual who goes through a wormhole, basically, and when he comes out the other side, nobody has heard of the Beatles. So he is a musician, he remembers the songs, so how does he introduce them to the world? Basically, that's the...
So your question is, if that were to really happen,
right,
what would be the one Beatles song that you would spring upon the world for them to say, wow, this is good stuff?
And you have to remember, the music industry is so different. You know, you're not... It's not a guaranteed hit anymore. No, but nothing's a guaranteed hit. So how do you get through that, you know, layers and layers of YouTubing and, Spotify and Pandora and
Apple
Music?
Wendy, what do you think? What would be the song that you would throw out there to say, hey, this is great music?
In my life. If we're doing Beatles songs or any song of all time.
No, it has to be Beatles song.
No, that's
Beatles my favorite.
And I think, because there's so many forms you can take with that, and because the words are so poignant, I think that's a really good... I actually thought "Hey Bulldog" because because it's
rocking,
right? It's rocking, and it's also has such a hook that you can put in different formats and still get something out of it.
I could see it as a hip hop song.
Yeah, I really can.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyway,
I would think "Let It Be" would stand a good chance. I would think the song "Yesterday," which is, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm guessing it plays a prominent role.
It's like one of my least favorite Beatles songs.
Yeah,
it's kind of overplayed. Actually.
Maybe that's it.
I'll go with "Maxwell Silverhammer."
I'm for that. I'd pick "Piggies."
Oh yeah, that's a pretty universally loved. Yeah.
Have you seen the little piggies?
The other question I wanted to ask you was, why is one of the characters from Toy Story's toy?
This is interesting.
The character is Forky.
Forky.
And in the movie, again, I don't want to give too much away, but there is a character in the movie that is just basically a fork with eyes on it.
Exactly. It's sort of a homemade toy.
Yeah.
And it's a spork, so it has...
Why isn't it Sporky? Why isn't his name Sporky?
Because they didn't think people would understand that. Isn't that interesting? Like, if you say Sporky, you're like, what? But if you say Forky, it's a fork character.
Yeah. It bothers me. It should be Sporky.
It should be Sporky.
They changed Sonic the Hedgehog. They should change the name of this character.
So they made a toy version, but it's been recalled.
Well, this is interesting. It's not... You would assume, okay, the pointy things on the...
The prongs?
That's not good for kids. But no, it's a plush toy, and the googly eyes come off. So.
Oh. All right. So they've all been recalled.
Choking hazard.
Yep.
Choking hazard.
Bring in your forkies.
Exactly.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Careful.
Then more with Patrick McDonald.
He never had that when we were kids.
Nope, we didn't.
We just got strangled with the googly eyes.
Right. It was so much easier then. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy is holding me up over her head, just like in the movie.
Have you gained weight?
Patrick McDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. Tour guide at Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for more information.
Yep.
You mentioned that you've already seen this new version of The Lion King. What did you think? What did you come away thinking?
Well, I basically what I was talking about. It just seemed odd to me to be... The embargo's off, so I can talk freely.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was odd to have real animals talking, you know. It
took you out of it?
It did. It took me out of it. It did. But it's beautiful.
But you've seen that in other movies.
Film.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the Jungle Book that was out a year or two ago, did that bother you then?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it? Oh, all right. All right.
I've seen Francis the Talking Mule.
Yeah, there's a great example.
You go. And Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, of course. Hello.
So, no. So
it just becomes too unbelievable once an animal starts talking, you go, I'm out.
Well, it's not that. It's just that story and that context and that Africa setting, you know. I'm sure Jungle Book was a little more free form and
not that much.
Okay.
I mean, it stayed kind of true to the 60s version of Jungle Book. But I thought it was great.
Yeah, it got raves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Just okay.
Just okay. Three out of five for me.
All right. I'm going to ask you about some movies. Some of them a little bit obscure, right? But you've put them on your list of things that are coming out this weekend. What is Stuber? I've never heard of this.
Stuber is a buddy picture.
Yeah.
What is a buddy picture?
Two friends get off on a misadventure somehow.
Right. Kumail Nanjiani is Stu, a Uber driver. Therefore, Stuber. Stuber. He has.
I hope you didn't ruin the end of the movie.
He runs.
Is that how the movie ends?
He runs into Vic Manning, played by Dave Bautista, who had done.
Oh yeah.
He
Guardians of Drax the Galaxy
from Guardians of the Galaxy and was an ex wrestler. And so he recruits his Uber vehicle to take him around on this case in L.A. With a plot that was straight out of the 80s. It's a heroin dealership. Oh wow.
Yeah.
In Koreatown. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, Kumail is so funny. He's a funny guy.
He's pretty funny.
And he just kind of comments on everything. So that's the highlight of the movie. But the plot is so cranky. Ugh.
A little thin?
Yeah, very thin, and it's too much going on to keep straight. Very weird, and it celebrates the gun with ultraviolence. So there we go, straight out of the headlines.
So not a fan of this movie.
It's I am a fan. Three out of five.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Three out of five. Oh. But you know, you ignore the plot in the summer sometimes. You know, you're just going for a laugh. Nanjiani provides a laugh.
And that is Stuber. What is
Stuber?
Maiden.
Maiden is the true story of the first all-woman crew in 1989 to participate in the Whitbread round-the-world sailboat race. I'd never heard of this thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it goes out of Australia. The trials and tribulations are always interesting, but the best thing is, when you're on a sailing boat, you need a crack team, right? So this all-woman team, the first one, they were the best of the best in the world. They were the ones that wanted to go on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty amazing story because they're pretty good. And, everybody dismisses them as usual when you're the first.
Because they're women or just because?
In a sense, because they're women, because it's such a physical sport.
Oh, okay.
You know, sailing the boat through the rough seas. So today I'm posting an interview with the skipper of that, Tracy Edwards.
The actual skipper.
The actual skipper.
How old is she today?
She was in her late 20s in 89. So just
Okay. I didn't know how far back this went with the sailing.
So
any big name actresses that we would recognize in this movie?
It's not a narrative film. It's a doc.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I bet it's great. That I love documentaries.
Yeah. It's fun. It's interesting. I mean, it's against all odds.
And that's Maiden.
Maiden.
All right. And then another movie
called... And I only bring this up. It's going to be... it's called Cooked Survival by Zip Code. I only bring it up. It's going to play 2 weeks at the Gene Siskel because it's about the 1995 Chicago heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And how people in certain zip codes were the victims of it. Because
the refrigerated trucks that year,
right? The refrigerated trucks.
That's unforgettable. Quite honestly.
It really is. And so this movie talks about that, and they talk about in the context of disaster preparedness. Because of course, Chicago, when the horse leaves the barn, you always get a plan together afterwards.
Sure.
And their plan actually became a model for other cities. So it had a pretty good ending, but. It ended up there were 760 deaths just from people locking their doors and windows,
mm-hmm.
and the temperature getting that high. And the director presupposes that what if we took that disaster preparedness money and actually went to these poverty-stricken neighborhoods and made them better.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a better way to, instead of anticipating something,
right,
let's do something now. So a very interesting thesis for a film. That's 2 weeks at the Siskel. The director's going to be there a lot, so go to siskelfilmsare.org for details.
There's a text, and it's an interesting question because this, here's a movie that I don't even know if it's in wide release yet. Maybe it is, but it was playing film festivals and it was getting so much positive feedback and negative feedback at the exact same time. A movie called Midsummer. Have you seen this yet?
I have.
Is it already out in theaters or not?
Yes,
yet?
It is. Last week it came out. That is my number one film of the year so far.
Wow.
It is so crazy.
Right? I haven't seen it yet. Would you admit that you can't recommend it to everybody?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's not for everybody. You know, it has to do with your twisted view of the world, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because here are these younger folks who are going through some psychological crises going to a Midsummer Fest in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly we're in Sweden, and we're at a Midsummer.
It's a plot line we've seen 1,000 times.
Bob Hope, I'll take Sweden.
Right.
So... So they're there, and it's a Midsummer Fest that only takes place once every 90 years. So mm-hmm. you do the math. There's going to be some funky stuff going
mm-hmm.
on. And that's really what it's about. And it's really about human nature.
Somebody said I had to wash my eyes and my mind afterwards.
Yeah,
it's so funny because true. The people in, you know, would play all these film festivals, all these really high-end film festivals, and there'd be people walking out just going, what am I watching? And then other people at the end of the movie go, that's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
All right, I have to see it now.
It
you know
really
what you may have seen? The guy who wrote it and directed it is Ari Aster. That's the man's name.
Yes.
He made a movie called Heredity a couple years ago that of all the movies I've ever seen, I've never seen a movie that I loved at the beginning.
Right.
And then
we
the longer the movie
the
went, I'm like, four stars, that 3.5 stars, 3 stars, 2.5 stars, 2 stars. As the movie went on and on and on, it's like, do you remember how great this movie was in the beginning? What happened to you?
Well, actually, that made my top 10 that year.
Did it?
And,
yeah.
Also, I just felt like, again, you make a decision for the ending of the film. It became a little more supernatural.
Yes.
And I think that's what bothered people about it because it seemed to have a basis in reality, and then it suddenly became more exorcist-like. You
so
know,
does he follow suit with this movie, with Midsummer? Is it the same kind of thing where...
There's not so much magical realism in it as just the whole nature of if we have a tribe, what traditions do the tribe use to make sure that the tribe maintains itself.
Interesting.
All right, now I have to see Hereditary, too.
Oh, yeah. Turn the lights down.
See, you know, it's
so weird. Is it going to scare me too much?
It's very scary.
It is scary.
I will give it that. Even though, in the end, I wasn't happy with it, I will admit, it's a very, very scary movie. Extremely creepy, but it's just so sad that it started out so great, and then as the movie
fizzled.
Went on, and that's my opinion, Patrick.
Yeah.
I know it made your top 10, but... Oh, I love the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then...
That's it?
Yeah. It's very psychological. It's really about family and what is passed along in families. And
I got to see that.
But it will scare you, I guarantee.
I was going to watch that, or I was going to watch Us this weekend, because I haven't seen that.
That's
I can't
great.
Handle two in a row of those, right?
Pace yourself on the end. Yeah, take a little time in between.
Yeah. Two very creepy films.
Yeah, no question. Patrick, great to see you.
Awesome.
Again, ChicagoFilmTour.com or HollywoodChicago.com. You can find Patrick at either one of those.
Great.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers.